B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos daf ayin hey. We're going to start on the second line of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia Omar Rav, Hamoiteach chut shel tfira. If somebody stretches a thread of a stitch, which means there was a piece of material that had been stitched together, and one of the threads have got loose, and the two pieces of material had become separated a little bit, and now by pulling the thread, by stretching it, the thread that's become loose, he's actually pulling together the two pieces of material that had come apart. If he does that on Shabbos, chayev chatos, he's chayev, because for all intents and purposes, this is called teufer, it's called sewing, stitching. Another thing that was learnt in the name of Rav, v'aloi meid dovor echod min hamagush, if somebody learns anything from a magush, which is a heretic, somebody who's all involved in Avodah Zorah, and he's inciting people to join Avodah Zorah, one's not allowed to learn anything from him, and somebody who does, chayev misa, it's chayev misa to learn anything from him. The third thing that was learned in the name of Rav, v'hayudea l'chashiv tkufois umazolois, anybody that's wise enough to calculate the seasons and the mazolos, the constellations, ve'enei choshev, and he does not calculate them, he doesn't use the knowledge he has to calculate the seasons and the constellations, osur l'saper imenu, then it's not appropriate to relay anything in his name. Says the Gemara, Magushta, who is this Magushta? So I explained it to you based on what the Gemara is about to say. But it says here that Haloi mei dover echod min hamagush chayev misa. Who is this magush? Rav Shmuel chad oma charshi. One of them say it's a sorcerer who does unexplainable things that by some powers. Sorcery. V'chad omar gedufi. Somebody who blasphemes Hashem and somebody who is being drawn and draws others towards idol worship. Says the Gemara, Testaim de Rav Omar Gedufi, I can bring you a proof that it's Rav who maintains that Magushta is this person that blasphemes Hashem and is pulled towards idol worship. The Omar of Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav, because we just saw now in the name of Rav that Haloi Mei Dover Echod Min HaMagush Chayev Misa, that one is not allowed to learn anything from a Magush. De'isol Kedayat Choroshi. If you're going to hold that Rav assumes that Charoshi, that the Magush is the sorcerer, Hoksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, Loi Silmad Lasois, you're not allowed to learn from the sorcerers with the intent of doing sorcery. Avlata Lomid Lohovin Ulohoiris, but you are allowed to learn from a sorcerer to understand the ways of sorcery, Ulohoiris, and to rule. And you have to know if somebody's going to come forward and do some acts of sorcery and claim that he's a prophet, then if you understand the ways of sorcery, you can disprove him and you can disclaim him. And from the fact that you're allowed to learn things from the sorcerers, you're just not allowed to practice the sorcery, it must be that when Rav says that one is not allowed to learn from a magush, it cannot mean a sorcerer. It must mean the heretic that we mentioned, the gidufi, the one who blasphemes Hashem and draws people to Avodah Zorah. Continues the Gemara, Oma Reb Shimon ben Pazi Omer Bishua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapora. Kol hayoidea lechashev bitkufois umazolois, anybody who knows how to calculate the seasons and the constellations, ve'enei choshev, and he does not use the wisdom he has to make these calculations, all of akos of Omer, on him the Pasuk says, ve'espoel Hashem lo yabitu, that they do not gaze or do not see the works of Hashem, umayse yodov lo yiro, and they don't see the works of Hashem's hands. That means calculating the seasons and the constellations is an inroad to seeing the wonders of Hashem in the creation. And somebody who abuses the fact that he has this knowledge and does not calculate the seasons and constellations with his knowledge, then he's not seeing, he's refusing to see the works of Hashem. Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Yechanon, Minayin shemitzvah la'odom l'chashiv tkufos u'mazolis. Somebody who has this knowledge, has this wisdom, from where do we see that it's proper and appropriate that he should make these calculations? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, ushmartem, and you should guard them, vasisem, and you should do them, kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem, for it is your wisdom and understanding, le'enei ha'amim, in the eyes of the nations. The nations will see how wise you are. Which wisdom and understanding can you show to the nations that they should see your wisdom? It's making the calculations of the seasons and the constellations, and understanding the weather forecast is based on an understanding of the seasons and the constellations. And if you can tell the nations that, and you tell them in advance that based on these calculations, whether a year is going to be this type of year or that type of year, whether there's going to be a lot of rain or not a lot of rain, and then it will be proven that you are right, then the nations will see your wisdom and understanding, and that makes a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Continues the Gemara. The next melachos we saw in the Mishnah are Hatzod Tzvi, v'chulei, somebody who traps, who hunts a deer, etc. Tonu Rabbonon, we learnt in the Braisa, Hatzod Chilozoin, if somebody hunts, he catches, he traps these Chilozoin fish, v'apoitzoi, and he squeezes it, because in order to make the Tcheles, this purple color, whatever color the Tcheles is, to take from the Chilozoin fish and turn it into the Tcheles, you have to squeeze out its blood. And somebody who squeezes out the blood of a chilozoin after hunting it, he's only chayev a single melacha of tzeda, of hunting the animal. But for squeezing its blood, he's not chayev. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, chayev shtaim. Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev also for squeezing its blood. Shehoya Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, ptzio bechlal disha, squeezing out the blood of this chilozoin fish or shell of this chilozoin is included in disha, in threshing, and in the same way as one threshes produce, so too one squeezes and one separates the blood from the chilozoin, and therefore it's a melacha of disha. Omru loy, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda, ein ptzia bechlal disha, squeezing the blood of an animal, blood of a fish, is not included in threshing. De Omar Rava, Omar Rava my Talmud Rabbanon, Rava explained the Chachomim, Kosover, they hold ein disha elo legidulei karka. The melacha of disha, of threshing, only applies to things that grow on the ground, but to animals and to fish, to shells, the melacha of disha does not apply. And therefore the Chachomim say that if you hunt these chalozoin and you squeeze them out, you'll only be chayev for tzeda, for trapping them, you will not be chayev for squeezing their blood. Asks the Gemara, v'lechayev nami mishum netilas neshama. One would assume that squeezing out the blood of this chilozoin is killing them, and we know that killing any animal is chayev for netilas neshama, removing its soul, killing it. Om Rabbi Yechanon shepot oi mace, when he squeezed out its blood, it was already dead. And if it was already dead, obviously you will not be chayev for killing it. Rava Omar, afilu teima shepot oi chay. Rava says that even if he squeezed it out when it was alive, and then it dies, you're not chayev for netilas neshama. Misasiku etel netilas neshama. Since it's not his intention to kill the animal, to kill the chilozin, all he wants to do is squeeze out its blood in order to be able to use it to make this color, to make the tcheles. And the fact that it died, but it was not the intention, it's not what he was engaging in, therefore he will not be chayev for killing it. Asks the Gemara, v'habayev v'rova d'omr tarvayu, did Abayev v'rova not both say, moide Reb Shimon b'psikreisha v'lo yomus? Even Reb Shimon, who says a melacha she was not miskaven, he didn't want to do this melacha, and Reb Shimon says he's potter, but even Reb Shimon agrees that if it's psikreisha v'lo yomus, if it's inevitable, if the consequences are inevitable, the word psikreisha v'lo yomus means removing its head, it will not die. If In the same way as it's inevitable that after removing the head of any being, it will die, if it's that level of inevitable that squeezing out a chilazon is going to kill it, then for all intents and purposes, it's as if you intended to kill it. And then you should be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Shani hocha de kamo de isbe neshama tfei nichele. Over here, that's all true when I'm not focused on killing it. I'm focused on something else, and I don't care whether it dies or not, but it's inevitable that it will die. Then we say it's called psik resha, and since the consequences are inevitable, it's as if that it's you intended those consequences. However, when you don't want those consequences, when you'll do everything to avoid those consequences, over here, a person squeezing out the blood of this chilazon, the person wants the chilazon to stay alive as long as possible, because kehecha de litzlil tzovi, because the blood that comes out when it's alive is a much clearer color, and therefore, since he does not want it to die and he's not engaged in killing it, he's just focusing on removing its blood, therefore he will not be chayev for netilas neshama. Continues the Gemara. The next melacha mentioned in the Mishnah is somebody who slaughters, somebody who shechts an animal. It's one of the lamates melachis. Now, it's clear that this melacha is really killing. And we know there's at least three times in the building of the Mishkan that they had to kill. Number one, they had to kill the rams in order to get the skins of the rams that would then be dyed red, the oiris elim odomim. And also, they would kill the tachash, which was also an animal used for the Mishkan. And the third thing Rashi brings is the chilazon, that they would also be killed for the tcheles. So there's no question that the asheichet is just an elegant way of saying, if you kill an animal, it's one of the lamates melachas. But nonetheless, the Mishnah chose the term shchita, to slaughter. What was the Mishnah coming to teach us with that? Sheichet mishum mai. And Rashi adds that regarding the Mishkan, none of the three we mentioned required shchita. They needed to be killed, but they didn't necessarily have to be slaughtered. Sheichet mishum mai chayev. What is the extra chiyuv that the word shchita, that slaughtering, is teaching us? Rav Omar mishum tzeveh. Rav says that it's possible that somebody does a slaughtering and he's actually going to be chayev for dying, for coloring, for tzoveya. Shmuel omer mishum netilas neshama. Shmuel says that the Mishnah just means netilas neshama, killing an animal, nothing more than that. It's Rav who says that the Mishnah is teaching us an extra chiddush that one can do shchita and be chayev for tzoveya. Asks the Gemara Mishum Tzivea in Mishum Netilas Neshama Loi. Is Rav suggesting that the Mishnah is telling us that by doing Shechita he's only Chayev for Tzivea, not for Netilas Neshama? And that certainly cannot be the case. Tzivea is a separate melacha mentioned in the Mishnah. Eime Af Mishum Tzivea. No. Rav means that the Mishnah is telling us it's possible that you can do a Shechita, and with one Shechita, besides for being Chayev for killing the animal, for Netilas Neshama, he will also be Chayev for dying. Omar Rav, Milsa de Omri, Rav said now, the comment that I, Rav, said, that the Mishnah is telling us that it's possible to do Shechita and to be Chayev also for Tzoveya, and this aspect did not necessarily apply in the Mishkan at all. Eime bo milsa. I want to explain myself. Deloy leisu dori basroi, in order that later generations should not come, v'lechaychu elai, and to laugh at what I said, as if to say, why should shchita, and what gets coloured? The blood comes out and makes a mess and colours the skin around where a person slaughters the animal. Why should a person be chayefut sever? Who would want to use the blood while slaughtering as a form of painting, as a form of dying? So people will laugh at me. I want to explain myself. Tzoveya b'may nichalei. What intentions, what purpose, what is there to gain with the redness that the area around where the animal gets slaughtered is red? Says the Gemara, Nicha de litvois. Beis hashchita domi, it's the owners, the person that shechted this animal, wants to color the area around where it's been slaughtered. Keicha de lechazia inchi. So people will see that it's been freshly slaughtered, and they will then come and they'll want to buy this meat from me. They'll see it's fresh meat. Continues the Gemara. V'hamoilchoi, somebody who salts the hides, the skins. V'ma'abda, and somebody who tans the skins, which is further on in the process of the skins, turning them into leather. Says the Gemara, Hainu meileach, hainu ma'abid. Is meileach not part of the tanning process? Part of the tanning process was the salting. Rabbi Yechonon, Resh Lakish, Omri Tarvayu, they both assumed apik chad minayu. Yeah, you can take out one of them. It's true that meileach and ma'abid is the same melocha. It's preparing the skins and turning them into leather. Remove one of them from the Mishnah, va'ayil sirtut, and in its place, you should put in sirtut, which is that they would scratch out lines into the skins, so they should know where to cut the skins for whatever purposes they were doing. And even in the Mishkan, they had that the oiris elim, the skins of the rams, they would etch out into the skins where it would have to be cut to size, and that's a malacha of sirtut. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Baravuna, Hai man de molach bisra, somebody who salted meat. He's not tanning skins, he's salting meat. Chayev mishum ma'abid. He's chayev for the same melocha as of ma'abid, of tanning. Rava Omar ein ibud bo'ichlim. Rava says that leather, skins, one tans, one doesn't tan food. Omar v'ashi v'afila Rabbi Baravuna, even Rabbi Baravuna who does say that the melocha of Ma'abid applies even to food, even to meat. It's only if you put so much salt as if you're trying to preserve this meat for a journey. And therefore you put on so much salt, then it's similar to the salting one does in the tanning process. Avalabesa, but when you're putting on some salt just to spice the meat in order to eat it at home, loy mashva inish michla eats. Nobody in their right minds would put so much salt, which is the amount of salt used in the tanning process, would put so much salt, making it as tasteless and inedible as wood, if all he's doing is wants to spice it to eat it at home. And therefore, even Rabbi Baruch Huna would agree that the amount of salt that one would typically put on just in order to spice it is not considered ma'abit. Continues the Gemara. The next melachas mentioned in the Mishnah, Hamamachkoi, somebody who smoothes the skin, removes any hair stuck on it, he smoothes it out, Vamachatkoi, and he cuts it to size. Those are the next two melachas. Omer Abacha Bar Chanino, Hashof Beino Amudim, somebody who rubs, who smoothens out the floor, the ground, between the pillars, B'Shabbos, and he does this on Shabbos, Chayev Mishumamachik, is Chayev for smoothing out. And we've already discussed previously that somebody who smoothens out the ground is chayev either for boine or is chayev for ploughing. And here you suddenly see that when you smoothen the ground, he's chayev for mamachik. So other Rishonim argue with Rashi and say it's not talking about smoothing the ground, but Rashi says it's referring to smoothing the ground between the pillars, that he's chayev for mamachik. Continues the Gemara, Om Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Gimel Dvorim Sochli Rav Ashi. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says that I heard three things from Rav Ashi. Mishmeid Rabbi Shua ben Levi, in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The first one, Hamagarir Roshei Klunsois, somebody who planes the tops of the poles in order to make them even and to sharpen them. B'Shabbos, and he's doing this on Shabbos. Chayev mishum mechatech, he's chayev for the melocha of mechatech, for cutting. The next thing, hamemareach retia b'Shabbos, somebody who spreads out a dressing on a wound on Shabbos, is chayev mishum mamachik, is chayev for mamachik, which is the melocha of smoothing out. The third halacha, v'hamasases eso even, somebody who chiseled out a stone b'Shabbos, after it's been taken off the, it's been taken away from the mountain, from that earth, it's now a separate stone, and he wants to smoothen it out, and he chisels away at it on Shabbos. Chayev mishum makeh bepatish, he's chayev for the melocha of makeh bepatish, which is giving the final blow, the final act, which is making this stone ready to be used, and Makeh Bepatish is a melacha on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Shimon ben Kisma, Omer Reb Shimon ben Lokish. Hatzar Tzura, somebody who engraves an image, Bekli, onto a utensil, Vehamenapeach Bekli Zchuchis, or somebody who blows into glass, making the final blow, finishing off a glass utensil, Chayev Mishum Makeh Bepatish, they are Chayev also for Makeh Bepatish, it's the final act done that makes this Kli, that makes the utensil ready to be used. Omer Reb Yehuda, Hay Man De Shokil Akufei Miglimi. Somebody who removes some protrusions. Either there were some knots during the weaving process, they had to make some knots and those knots are disturbing him, or unintentionally some straw or splinters of wood had got woven into his garment, and he removes the Miglimi from his garment, Chayev Mishum Makeh Bepatish. He is Chayev for the Meloch of Makeh Bepatish, since he is now doing the final move, the final act, in order to make this garment wearable. V'hanimili dekopid alayu, this is only true if this person is very particular about it, he doesn't want to wear the garment in this state, and removing these protrusions is making the garment wearable, he's Chayev for Makeh Bepatish. Continues the Gemara, V'akosef shtei oisyei, somebody who writes two letters. In the Mishkan, they would write a letter on each beam in order that they should, after they disassemble the Mishkan and they reassemble it later on, they should know which beam stands next to which beam. They would write two letters, one on each beam, and they would know which letters are paired with which letters. And therefore, writing two letters on Shabbos is a melacha. Tonu Rabbonon, Kosav ois achas gedoyla. If somebody writes one big letter, v'yesh b'mekoyim olichtev shtayim, but the letter is so big that you could have written in its place two small letters. Potter, he's not chayev for kosev, since he didn't write two letters. Mochak ois gedoyla. If somebody rubbed out, he erased a big letter, v'yesh b'mekoyim olichtev shtayim, but in its place he could have written two letters, chayev he's chayev, because we saw in the Mishnah that Kosev is only Chayev if he's Kosev Shtei Oisyois, V'amoichuk, and Moichuk is Chayev if it's Almanos Lichtev Shtei Oisyois, if in that place you can write two letters. Omer B'nachum Rabbi Yosi, Zeh Choymer B'moichuk Mi B'Kosev, this is an aspect where there's a stringency with Mechika, with rubbing out, overwriting, that rubbing out a single large letter is Chayev, whereas writing a single large letter is not Chayev. Continues the Gemara, the next melachos in the Mishnah, Haboine, building, Vasoisa, demolishing, Vamechabe, extinguishing, Vamavir, kindling a flame, Vamakeh Bepatish, and giving the final blow, the final act, making a utensil or making something ready to be used. Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira de Omra Tarvayu, Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira both say, Kol Midi de Isbe Gmar Melacha, any act which marks the culmination of labor and whatever they're doing, Chayiv Mishum Makeh Bepatish, since this is the final thing that is done in the labor, in the creation of whatever they were doing, it's the melacha of Makeh Bepatish. The words Makeh Bepatish means blowing with a hammer, knocking with a hammer, and that's typically the last thing that would be done on a kli. Says the Gemara, Elu Ovois Melochis. The Mishnah, after listing all the 39 Melochis, the Mishnah says, these are the Ovois Melochis. Asks the Gemara, Elu, just these? La'afuke, who's it coming to exclude? You already said there's 39 Melochis and these are what they are. By reiterating it's only these, it's clear that you're coming to the exclusion of something. La'afuke Majabliyaza, de Mechayev al Tolda B'mokim Av. Regarding Croesus, we find Jabaleza holds that it's possible to be chayev on an av and a tolda. If a person transgressed an av and then he transgressed a tolda, according to Jabaleza, he'll be chayev two chatois. So our Mishnah says, no, these are the 39 melachos, and you will not be chayev more than 39 chatois on Shabbos, and if you did an av melacha and its tolda, you will only be chayev a single chatos. Chosar achas. The Mishnah says these are the 40 melachas less one, which means there's no 40th melacha, it's only 39 melachas. Lafukim Rabbi Yehuda. This is the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Moisev es Hashevet v'Medaktek. Rabbi Yehuda added on another couple of melachas, and these are another two aspects in preparing the weaving loom, and one is called Shevet and one is called Medaktek.
Omru loy, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shevet hareyu bechlal Mesach.
Shevet is the same, pretty much the same, or part of Mesach, which is already mentioned in the Mishnah.
Medaktek hareyu bechlal Oireg.
And Medaktek is included in, is the same as Oireg, and Oireg, weaving, is one of the melachos already mentioned in the Mishnah. There's no necessity to add on these two. And Rashi says, don't ask that why are you telling Rabbi Yehuda that Shevet and Mesach cannot be two because they're the same, and Medaktek and Oireg cannot be two because they're the same? Did we not see ourselves in the Mishnah that Zaira, Boira, and Merakid are all the same concept? Whether it's winnowing or selecting or sifting, it's all the same concept, and nonetheless it's three ovis. So why can Rabbi Yehuda not add on these two? So Rashi says no. Rashi says that Zaira, Boira, and Merakid, they have something in common that's separating the part you want from the part you don't, but they are distinctly different. In the case of winnowing, you're removing the straw, the chaff. In the case of boira and selecting, you're removing the stones. In the case of merakid, the sifting, you're just purifying the flour. So they are, even though they are similar, but they are different parts, different stages of the process. Whereas in the ones that Yehuda mentioned, Shevet and Mesach is pretty much the same point, the same level of preparation of the loom, and so too the Oireg and Medaktek are very, very similar and therefore cannot be mentioned as two melachas. Says the next Mishnah, V'oid klal achir omru. We mentioned in the previous Mishnah a klal godl, a big rule, and now we're mentioning another rule. Kol hakosher latznia, any type of article which is fit to be stored, it's, people store it away. Umatznien kamoyu, and the amount that was stored away is a type of amount that normal people would regularly store away. Then voitzia, if after he stored them away, he took them out of its storage place and carried it, since in his eyes this is something choshev, something prestigious, something of value, and you carried it on Shabbos, carrying something of value to the eyes of the one carrying it marks it as a melocha, and is on voitziei b'Shabbos. If he carries it on Shabbos, chayev chatos olav, is going to be chayev chatos for carrying from one domain to the next. V'chol she'enei kosher latznia, but a type of article that nobody puts it into storage, ve'ein matznin kamoyu, or even something that one does put into storage, but the amount that he put into storage was not the amount that one would typically put into storage, ve'itziye b'Shabbos, and he then took it out of its storage place and he carried it on Shabbos, ein echayev elo hamatzniy. Then the one that stored it away, then in his eyes it has value, he's going to be chayev. But for everybody else, since it's either something which is not normally stored away, and even if it is stored away, it's not something that's normally stored away at that little amount, and therefore for anybody else who takes it out, will not be chayev for carrying. Says the Gemara, kol hakosher latznia. You're talking about an article, something that everybody that's common and normal to put it into storage. Lafuke mai, what type of article would nobody put into storage? Rav Papa Omar, lafuke dam nida, the blood of a nida, and especially after one's already asked the shayla to a rav, and one knows what the halacha is, nobody normal would put that away, and therefore it's called einoi ro, it's called not kosher latznia. So if somebody puts it away, according to our Mishnah, if somebody chooses to put it away and then he carries it, he'll be chayev. But for everybody else that carries it, will not be chayev.
Marukva Omar lafuki atzi asheiro.
Marukva says if you have the trees that were planted for Avodah Zarah and one's not allowed to derive any benefit, any pleasure from it, nobody would put it into storage. There's nothing, no reason to store it. And therefore, it's called not kosher latznia. And the Gemara says, Mando Omar dam nida.
Kolchkin atzei asheira.
Somebody who says that even Dam Nida, which is not as repulsive as a tree of Avodah Zarah, and even Dam Nida is called not kosher latznia, of course Atzei Asherah, which is very repulsive because of its nature and connection to Avodah Zarah, that's also called not roi latznia. Manda Oma Atzei Asherah, but the opinion who says that it's Atzei Asherah that's not considered kosher latznia, aval Dam Nida mitznayelu, it could be that Dam Nida one would store away. Why? Matznele l'shunra, one would give it to a cat. And therefore, it's called, according to that opinion, according to Mar Ukva, Dam Nidis would be called Ra'ui Kosher Latznia. Ve'idach, and Rav Papa, who says that Dam Nida is not Kosher Latznia, Kiven de Cholsha Loi Matznele. And Rashi explains that since the Dam Nidis come from a person, when one gives anything that comes from a person, one gives it to an animal to devour, it causes a weakness to the person. And therefore, even though Dam Nida is not as repulsive as Atzei Asherah, but nobody would want to cause this woman to become weak, and therefore nobody would store it away to give it to a cat. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Hai Deloike Reb Shimon, this Tanakama, this Mishnah, is not like Reb Shimon. Deike Reb Shimon ha'omer le'omru kol ha'shi'urin alolu elol matzni'ehen. In this Mishnah we saw that if somebody stores away something less than the typical measured, the typical amount that one would typically store away, then for that person himself, he's going to be chayiv, because for him, it had value. He stored it away. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon says all the minimum measurements, which we're going to see later on, the minimum measurements for carrying, all those measurements were only said for the people who hide them. That somebody who hides them, that's the minimum measurement. But if it's less than the minimum measurement, nobody will be chayev. And that's contrary to our Mishnah that says that even if it's a very small measurement, nonetheless, the person that hides it gave it value and will be chayev. Continues the Gemara. V'chol she'enei kosher latznia. We saw at the end of our Mishnah that anything that's not kosher latznia, it's not an item that one would typically hide away, or if it's too small, if it's not the measurement that one would typically hide away, then only the person that hides it away will be chayev if he carries it. Everybody else who carries it will not be chayev. Omer Reb Elazar, Hodu Loik Reb Shimon ben Elazar. This little detail is not, in our Mishnah, is not following the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. D'tanya, we saw in the Braisa, Klal Omer Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Kol she'enei kosher latznia, anything, any item that one would not typically hide away. Ve'ein matznien kamoyu, or the measurement, the amount that was hidden away is not the amount that, the minimum amount that we're going to see later in the Mishnayos that people hide away. Ve'ein matznien kamoyu, v'huchsher leze ve'etznio, and for this person, he found it fit to store away even that little bit amount, even such an item, ve'etznio, and he hid it away, ubo achir v'hoitzioi, and somebody else came and carried it, nischayev ze b'machshov v'shel ze. Since the person that hid it away gave it value, if somebody else then comes and takes that item that was given value by its owner and carries it, even though it would have no value to the person who carried it, since he's carrying something that was given value by its owner, the person who carried it will be chayev. And that's a detail of Reb Shimon ben Elazar that seems to be contrary to our Mishnah. And Yemir Tz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to carry on the next Mishnah.